mighty God. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Mighty God you are. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He knew what was, what is, and what will be. And God, today we just, again, we embrace your promises. We embrace the covenant that you have made with each and every one of us today. And we give you praise for that and great thanks. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, and everybody said a great amen. Hey, before you're seated again, just smile at somebody, say hi to them. Miss hugging you? Well, some of you will hug anyways, but it's great to see you today. I heard a statistic this week that there was a trial done with rats, and that said that they took some rats that were, they called them couch potato. Now, I don't know how they determine whether how a rat can be a couch potato. I mean, do they have little couches that they make and little TVs and little rat-type snacks? But anyways, they took those, and they took rats that were very active, and they took the blood from the active one and put it into the one that wasn't active. And when the blood went from the active into the not very active became very active. Interesting. And so they are determining, and they were trying to figure out how that would work in humans. If some humans that were very active or had a different special kind of gifting or intelligence, that blood, if it was transfused into another person who was lacking it, would be more like that individual. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But it reminded me of something that God's Word says in Romans chapter 11 and verse 17, 18, that you and I have been grafted into the vine of Christ. You need to know that, because this morning the message you're going to hear, you're going to hear about covenant promises. And this is a reality to each and every one of us, that when you make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of your life, you now have been grafted in to the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. Amen. There ought to be more than two of you clapping today. This is a reality. You want to know why some of you don't clap? Because you haven't embraced that. You haven't made that a reality in your life. I know that I've been grafted in. I know that my life is not the same. And the reality of it is, when this takes place in your life, there will be such a change that happens in you, other people won't believe what's taken place in your life. But it's the reality. It's true. That when you give your life to Christ, the blood, the same blood that poured from Calvary, now pours through your vein. Woo! The promises of God are yes and amen. Everything written in the book, when you believe it and receive it, become a part of your life. I'm not sure you understand what I just said to you. When Ryan and I did the transfer on our home that Patty and I lived in for 26 years, fourth generation on the farm, and now my son Ryan and his family live on that. When we did that, the attorney said to me, he said, when we were looking at all the deeds and everything, McDonald owns all the land around that house. And he was saying some other things. And I stopped for a minute and I thought, he's talking about me. To me, that's always been Breckenridge, because that was my father-in-law and for generations, his family. And I really, to be honest with you, I've just been a steward and that's all we are. But the reality of it is, my name is on that, all around that. Until I believe that and receive that, I will never act like I have anything to do with it. Until you believe that the blood of Calvary is a part of your bloodline, you will not receive the benefits and the covenant promises that he has for you. And he has them all for you today. Come on, are you listening to me? I said, he has them all for you today. Come on up, Pastor Aaron.
Amen. So good. I just want to talk about the word hope for a moment today. I'm going to read out of Romans 15:13. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God is the source of hope, it says. And then it says you will overflow with confident hope. The word hope means a feeling of expectation. It means to trust in something or someone. So we can have confident expectation that God is going to come through on his promises, and we can trust in his faithfulness. 1 Peter 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So not only do we have hope in his promises, and we have hope and we have trust in his faithfulness, but we have confidence in a living hope. He's alive and he's working and he's among us. And that hope alone sets our lives as Christians apart from those who hope in something different. We can have hope in the living God. 1 Peter 1:13 says, Prepare your minds for action. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully. What is your hope on today? Who are you putting your hope in? Who are you trusting in? Where is your hope lying today? We should be setting our hope fully on the confidence of Jesus Christ. And Psalmist says, Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. I found this acronym for the word hope in an acronym or initialism. It's a word for every letter of a word. And this one says, Hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. Keep holding on. Keep hanging in there. The pain will end. You will get through this. It's a season. You have to keep holding on. So keep hoping in the promises and confidence of God. Amen? Amen. Let's give to God today. There's different ways that you can give. As Pastor was saying, you want to line up with your covenant. When you give to God, you're in a covenant with him, and he will open up the windows of heaven, the Bible says, when you line up your finances faithfully with his word. So you can give different ways. You can text the City Church NY to the number 77977. You can download the PushPay app on your phone and give that way. You can go online at thecitychurch.com, or if you're in-house today, there are two mailboxes on your way out. You can put your offering envelope right in the mailbox today. Well, I'm excited. I was able to be here first service and hear the message. And I was actually able to read through some of the notes because of the PowerPoint of Pastor Ryan speaking. And you are going to be blessed by the word today. You really are. And I said it first service, but it's cool. We like grew up together. He's like a brother to me. So it's cool like throughout the years that you're able to watch somebody just grow and change and develop into the person that God has created him to be. And he's doing things now that I know he never thought in a million years that he would be doing. But he's an encouraging voice, not only in mine and my husband's life, but to many of your lives here. And he's a faithful servant of God in the house. So would you give Pastor Ryan a big hand as he comes up and shares?
Come on, give the Lord a hand, would you? Hasn't it been a great morning? Aaron just said something, and it struck my heart and in my spirit. You got to give people a chance to grow. I should hear a better amen than that. You know, we can't identify a person where we've meant them. We have to identify them, if you remember the word, where God sees them. You have to be able to see people at their full potential. You have to be able to look at a person and say, hey, man, you can do better. There's more in you than that. So when you get an opportunity and you walk into God's house, look at somebody and just declare God's promises over them that they're going higher. How many of you want to go higher? Come on. Amen. Well, this morning I want to, first of all, I believe there's a spiritual principle involved when we bring honor to those who are worthy of honor. Amen. And I want to say my dad has been preaching a sermon series on respond over react. How many of you have loved that sermon series? How many of you have been tried on it in these weeks? We've been super tried on it. Yeah, amen. And but I want to say that sermon, that series that Dad has been preaching, that's a Holy Spirit sermon. That's a prophetic sermon for this house, for this your people during this season. And I want to say thank you. Ministers in general, oftentimes when we were growing up, people didn't understand the price that my parents had paid. And a few of PKs in the room know what I'm talking about. But even my mom, you know, up till Sunday morning, my dad was in the zone, and my mom dealt with that zone. And I just want to say thank you for the time spent. And, you know, I get weeks to prepare what I'm going to share with you this morning. He gets about four days or so. So would you give them a hand this morning for their faithfulness? Amen. Amen. Well, this morning it's an honor to share God's word. I wanna draw just a few truths this morning, and I wanna tell you that the YouVersion app has absolutely changed my life. Now, I grew up in church. I'm a pastor's kid, so if the YouVersion app can change my life, it probably can help change your life. It's very, very difficult, even for those that are studied in the Word, to break it down and read through the Scripture in a year. And I tell people this, you can do it. Every person in this room, if you want to read the Bible from front to back, from Genesis to Revelation, you definitely can do it. But I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot easier if you have a little bit of help. This YouVersion app does exactly that. You get a few chapters a day. It really makes it easy. And for those of you that say, man, I just can't read. I struggle reading. I grew up really struggling to read. And now I find if I read and listen, I actually retain more. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so that's what I do daily. I read and I listen every single morning, and this is, I think, my fifth or sixth time from Genesis to Revelation, and every time I read it, I walk away and say, man, I never read that before. That is life-changing, and this scripture that I want to share with you this morning did exactly that in my life, and I pray this morning that you'll open your mind, you'll open your heart, you'll open your spirit to what the Holy Spirit has to say, and I want to draw from this Genesis 15 and 13, and it says these words: the Lord said to Abram, which you know is Abraham, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. I will punish the nation that enslaves them. And you say, Ryan, why in the world would you open up with that scripture? Just stay with me just for a second. We're getting to the good part, okay? And in the end, they will come away with great substance and wealth. And as for you, you will die in peace and you'll be buried at a ripe old age. And then in verse 18, it says this: so the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you, do you believe that God's word can change the atmosphere of your life? And I feel a draw even right now. I love it when I begin to feel it. The word of God, as you read it, as you partake of it, as you eat it, as you drink it into your heart and into your spirit. That's why the doctors and scientists say you need to eat your breakfast. Well, I'm here to tell you need to eat the word in the morning. Get it right in your spirit because it actually changes the atmosphere of who you are. And you got to believe that. You got to believe it for yourself. Just like my dad would make reference to, as a baby needs to be fed with a bottle just for a bit of time. And it's the same thing with the word. Sometimes you got to force feed it for a little bit of time. And then all of a sudden you'll find yourself, your eyes will crack open in the morning. And you'll say, man, I've got to be about my Father's business. I need the word in my life. I need the word in my heart and in my spirit. And that's why some people that are believers feel dead. They wake up on Monday morning, man, I got to go back to work today. I got to keep living this life because you're not being fed. Your spirit, man, is not being fed by the renewing of the word in the morning. And there's a couple promises that, you know, as you read through the scriptures, there's promises all through the scriptures. There's encouragement. There's a chastening all through the scripture. And I want to just touch on just two quick promises that the Lord speaks to Abram, but he also speaks to you. See, you might not know this, but you're a seed of Abraham. It says through the scripture, you are the seed of Abraham. So when the scripture says, I'm going to make you a couple promises, it actually says this. It speaks throughout eternity and says, Justin, the promises are for you. Wayne, the promises are for you. Phil, the promises are for you. Renee, the promises. Anne Marie, it speaks through eternity and it speaks to every heart and every spirit in existence, and it says these promises are for you too. See, you didn't know that. Some of you didn't realize that promise just wasn't for Abraham. It was for you. You are the seed. You are the walking, talking, breathing, moving seed of Abraham this morning. And the first promise he says, and I love this. I love this promise, and I'm going to preach it all over this city. I'm going to preach it to the middle-aged, the older, because people are fretting and worrying about their health right now more than ever. They're up late at night. They're up early in the morning. They've got anxiety attacks and worries and pains and all kinds of issues when it comes to their emotional well-being because they haven't engaged this promise in their life. And the first promise, Abraham says, I'm going to let you live to a ripe old age. How many of you just received that right now? You want that for your life. If you don't, come down for prayer after. I want that for my life. You want that for your life. And what's a ripe old age mean? Let me tell you what a ripe old age means. If you read the commentary, that's a whole nother step in the reading of God's word. But if you read the commentary, this is what a ripe old age means. It means that you'll have your mind. It means that you'll have your health. It means that you'll have your children. It means that you'll have prosperity and wellness in your life. And don't even think that I'm just headed towards money, because that to me is this much of a room full of promises that God has for us. You're going to die, the scripture says, at a ripe old age. You're going to have your bearings about you. You're going to have peace in your home, peace in your life, but you have to engage in the covenant to receive of that. That's powerful. See, because when we talk about a giving, we talk about covenant in that sense. I'm talking this morning, I'm talking about that. I'm speaking to that, but I'm talking more about relationship with God the Father. Walking with him. That's what the reading of the word does. It changes you. Those of you that we've kind of been on this journey together, I see the word changing you. When something erupts, this respond, overreact. When something erupts in your life, when you have the training, you have that covenant, you have that relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you say, man, I remember how I would have treated that person. I remember how I would have handled that thing. Remember how I would have dealt with that the last time? But I'm walking in the promises and in the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I can't act like that guy anymore. You're going to die, the scripture says, at a ripe old age. And I want you to just say that with me, and I want you to claim it over your life, because I felt the Holy Spirit so clearly tell me, there's people in here, you've worried. You've been just a worrier about your health. What if this happens? And what if that happens? You've just been in this rocking chair of worry and fear and just aggravation. But the scripture says, the Lord tells you this morning that the promise is you're going to die at a ripe old age. And I'm not talking about being foolish. Don't think I'm talking about disregarding, putting hand sanitizer on and washing your hands and being careful. I'm not talking about disregarding anything. I am talking about, though, the person who names the name of Jesus that lives in a state of worry and fear. I don't worry. I really don't. If you know me, my mom will say, can't you just worry just a little bit about it? And I just can't. It's just not in me to worry about it, because I receive that promise of God over my life that I'm going to live to a ripe old age. Say it with me. I'm going to live to a ripe old age. Speak that into your heart and your spirit. The second thing, are you ready for it? The first thing he says, you're going to live to a ripe old age. You're going to have provision. It's like what Psalm 91 says. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Be free of the fear of what's coming. Because you're going to live to a ripe old age. Number two, the promise that he makes. He says, you don't have to worry about your children. That is a statement, that is a promise, that if you have children, man, it'll make you jump up and down and yell and just be excited about what God has for you. That promise of salvation, that promise of a home in heaven, it gives so much peace, doesn't it? That this life isn't our final resting place. That we're not of those that have no hope. That we have a home in heaven with Jesus for eternity. That we'll walk with the saints of old. That we'll have conversations with Abraham, who we preach about this morning, and Isaac and Jacob and Grandpa Andy. And the saints that went before us, we'll get to walk into glory and say, hey, let's get a cup of coffee together and let's talk about what the great things that God has done in and through us. You have that promise. The second promise you have is that God has his hand on your children. You might say to me this morning, you might say, Ryan, my kids are so far from who God is. And that's what the scripture started with. It says that they'll go away from God, that they'll wander. How many of you have ever wandered from God a little bit this morning? This promise is for you and for your children. And man, we've all wandered. Not today, but we've all wandered. Give it to the end of the day, yeah. My mom, she'll worry about us kids. She'll worry about me and Ben and more about Garrett. And it's okay. It's okay to be concerned with your kids. I had to get that in, Mom. You know, I had to get that one in there just a little bit. You can worry about your kid. You can be concerned with your kids. But the promise of God said that although they'll go wayward just for a season, but God will bring them back. That's why you have to give people to God sometimes. You can't worry, you can't fret, you can't get mad and aggravated with them. You just love on them and just say, Lord, I pray that you'll bring them back. And that's a promise. See, let me just point this out. The covenant was with Abraham. Because Abraham said, I'm going to walk in your way, Lord. I'm going to do the things that you've asked me to do. I'm going to be obedient unto death. Guess what happened? He confirms it with the kids. That's why you say, oh, it doesn't matter if I go to church. You know, they're just going to do what they want to do anyway. It doesn't matter if I serve. It doesn't matter if I give to God. If they were going to come back to the Lord, they would have already. The covenant stands with the parents. See, that's why it would be so immature for me to get up here and just say, oh, I'm a self-made guy and I just did all this stuff. The covenant starts with the parents. And then it follows through. And the kids, I look around, John Tosher, I think of Jeff and his kids walking in the ways of the Lord. It's not a coincidence. When you walk with God, that covenant, although the kid might be acting like a lunatic right now, that covenant promise, all of a sudden you'll say, man, did you see him praying? Did you see him lifting his hand? Did you see him ministering to his friend? Did you see him make that turn? He didn't go there on Friday night. He came back to the, he went to the prayer meeting. He went to church. That covenant comes alive in your life. Keep doing what you've been doing, and you'll see the fruit of it in your children. And I thank God for my grandfather. My dad was a lunatic when he met my mom. He'll tell you the stories. Thank God my grandfather just, he was a soldier for the army of the Lord. My grandfather, he, the men that came to, that come to our Bible study on Wednesday night out at the barn, my grandfather bought the chairs that we're sitting in. That's where the church was, them white chairs that we sit in. My grandfather bought those chairs. That's where the church started. The covenant doesn't stop with you. The blessing doesn't stop with you. Who cares about the blessing that I have? I'm worried about the blessing that they have. I'm worried about the promises coming alive up in little Ryan's life, in little Andrew's life. I'm not worried really about the promises in my life. I'm worried about it in the next generation. And you need to be too. You need to, your mind will tell you, the enemy will speak to you, and that don't matter. It matters to God. The covenant matters to God. The second promise that he makes to us is that we don't have to worry about our kids. Do you believe that God loves your children even more than you do? Wow. You can't control your kids. You can't make, he says amen. You can't make him do things. All you can do is walk in God's covenant and watch his promise come alive in their life. And he throws in there, there's going to be a time of darkness. There's going to be a time of correction. Let me just say this as a son. There have been times that the Holy Spirit has chastened me back to himself. It's not fun, is it? Your sons and daughters, it's not fun when God says, hey, man, get back to church. Hey, don't talk to people that way. Hey, that chastening, though, that the Holy Spirit does to you to get back on track is so necessary in our lives. And he'll, if you're away from him and you name the name of Jesus, he'll chasten you back to himself. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's not all flowers and sun. When you walk away from the Lord, he'll say, come on back to me. He will woo you back to himself. Abraham, this is for your kids. They'll be oppressed. There'll be a time when you wish it was different. There may be a time when it looks dark and bleak, and parents hurt, and they're in pain, and they're just frustrated when kids go away. But God warned Abraham of this. He says, when you get in covenant with me, Abraham, I will chasten your kids back to myself. This promise is not only for your children's life, it's for your life. That if you go astray, that if you wander, and I pray this resonates in your spirit, because there's some people listening to me right now, you've wandered out into your own way. If it's not my way, it's the highway. The Lord will draw you back to himself. This promise is not just for your kids, it's for you. There will be a time when your bondage is broken, the captives are crushed, and the darkness is just for a brief season. And we've been through some seasons here, haven't we? Crazy stuff. I ask people that are 70, 80, 90 years old, have you ever seen anything like this? And they say, no, I'm sorry. I wish I could give you a little wisdom on how to deal with it. But we're living in a time that's bleak. It's tough. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God's promises for his people are that we don't stay here, that he's taking us higher. He's taking us from glory to glory and faith to faith. And that ought to just give you a little jump in your step. That ought to make you a little hyper like me. It ought to encourage your heart and your spirit to say, man, I got these promises working in my life. The people look at you like you're crazy, but they don't have the covenant. You've been through some setbacks. You've been through some negative. But you're about to walk into a season of a comeback. It's time to get up off the mat. It's time to stop having a pity party. It's time to leave the drama behind and the trauma behind of your past. You might have a child that got arrested. You might have a sickness. You might have an ailment. You might have financial strain. It's time to name the name of Jesus and claim the promises of God for your life. Up off the mat and believe that a comeback is coming in your life. I thought of this when I was writing this sermon. I thought of one of the greatest comebacks that ever happened. I believe that you'll remember it. Hit that, would you, Paulie?
The number two playoff performance of all time, Frank Reich's 1992 comeback.
I mean, Frank Reich was a backup quarterback, and backup quarterbacks don't do that in the NFL.
Reich started the 1992 wild card game due to injury.
Jim Kelly is down, and Frank Reich will have to take over, and the Bills are going to have to travel the long way to get back to the Super Bowl.
Houston threatened to blow out the Bills early.
A Rich Stadium route, at least at halftime.
Things got much worse on Reich's first drive of the second half.
Frank Reich's first pass the second half was intercepted by strong safety Bubba McDowell.
Reich goes far side. This is intercepted. And he will score.
I jumped up, ran to the phone, made my reservations to go to Pittsburgh for the next round.
And Houston now leads 35-3.
In pro football, no one comes back from 35-3 deficit.
He should have folded like a cheap suit, but he didn't.
You can overcome, baby. You can overcome this.
You gotta believe if you're a Bills fan.
The moment wasn't too big for him.
It's ironic that he also did a similar thing in college when he was at Maryland.
Hey, remember, Frank Reich is a senior in Maryland. Maryland was trailing by 31-0 to Miami. He and the Terps ended up beating the Hurricanes 42-40.
Our number two playoff performer took what he learned in college and fueled the greatest comeback in NFL history.
Maybe at the 10, at the 5, in for the touchdown. Right, looking to throw, rolls out, throws, down there is Reed at the 5, in for the touchdown.
And the game just gets more and more unbelievable as it moves on.
As this game swung, ho-ho-ho.
Play after play after play.
Back to throw, he looks, he throws, touchdown, Andre Reed for the touchdown. Andre Reed, 3 straight touchdowns.
He was up on 32 points. How?
And the Buffalo Bills have engineered the greatest comeback in the history of the National Football League.
And that's what people say about your life. I just bought a ticket to Pittsburgh. His game is over. Her game is over. She's gone way too far back. The odds are against them. You're falling apart. You know, Chuck came up to me after first service. He said, you know what Frank Reich did after the game? You know what he read? In Christ alone, I place my trust. I find my glory in the power, in the promise of Christ the risen Savior. You think it was a coincidence that God gave Frank Reich that moment? Absolutely, positively not. He gave it to him twice. The guy's the backup quarterback. Throw him in there. The game's over. And that's what the Lord's about to do in some of your lives. People are going to say, she's Just throw her off to the side. Throw him off to the side. Oh, go ahead. Let him play. The game's over anyway. Give him a few minutes in the game. And all of a sudden, God begins to use broken people, messed up people, discounted people to do his greatest work. Let me tell you why he does that. Let me just say this to you. The reason he uses the outcast is because the star, the guy that thinks he knows it all, the guy that is the best athlete, the guy that's the best at everything, God can't show his glory in him because he'll just go, yeah, that was me. The guy that's the outcast, that's the mess up, that everybody said, oh, he's the most unlikely, he'll never do it. God shows his glory through those type of people because guess what they say? Man, I could never do that without God. I needed him so bad. They threw me in that game. You think about Frank Reich. He just started throwing them balls up in the air. And some of you are going to start throwing some Hail Marys. You're going to start throwing some balls across the field. Everybody said, oh, it's not going to work out. And you're going to get on the other side of a game, a portion of your life, a little segment of your life, and God is going to display his glory in your life. The comeback is not just for your kids, it's for you. The promise isn't just for your kids, it's for you. You might have cancer. You might have lost your job. You might be going broke. You might be in just a desperate place in your life. If you'll endure the hell that you're living through, God will keep you in the game and give you a turnaround that you never expected. When people say you're washed up, the Bible says this, though a spilled milk scenario happens, you serve a God who devises a plan whereby the scattered will be gathered and brought back. In other words, God has a way to regather, regain, restore, reclaim, and refresh and renew your life. Job 14:7 says this, even though a tree has no more hope, if it's cut down, it will sprout again and grow up new branches, though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays. Have you ever felt like that? Like I'm just a decayed old stump. There's just no hope. It says this, at the scent of water, it will begin to bud. And here's what the scent of water is in your life. It's the Holy Spirit. When you turn towards him, when you turn to the Father, when you turn to his way, when you turn to his will, all of a sudden you get this scent of water and God begins to renew your strength. He begins to renew your spirit. Yeah, and he'll make you do things you'd never do in your own strength. And you'll say, man, how the heck did that happen? My dad talks about the covenant. He talks about the farm. Everywhere I go, I tell him all the time, God's promises, they just chase me around. No matter where I go, no matter where I end up, God's hand, he lays his hand on people. He lays his hand on people. The covenant's not just good for Abraham's family. It's good for the McDonald family. It's good for the Gardner family. It's good for the Vineyard family. It's good for every family who names the name of Jesus. You know the story of the prodigal son. You know the story. You've heard it preached. The son said, I want my inheritance. Gets what he can get. And we've all been there. You know that story is a parable? It is a means that Jesus used to explain a point. It wasn't a story that really happened. It was a parable. It was a story that he used to say, this is who I am. This is my thought process. This is how I want you to live. The prodigal son runs off on his own, takes his inheritance, and ends up as a slave. He ends up in a pig pen. And in the Old Testament, a pig was unholy. And it's funny that Jesus uses a pig pen to describe where he ends up. He ends up in this pig pen. But then something was said in the scripture, and you know it, you're familiar with it. It says that he came to himself. All of a sudden, he had this wake-up moment. And there's people that are listening. You're online right now. You're having a wake-up moment. And I am coming to myself moment. He comes to himself, and the scripture literally describes He turned back towards the father's house. He begins to make the trip. You know the story. This father sees him from afar off. And that word is for someone in here. You might be afar off. You think, oh, I got to get my life together. I gotta act right. I got to talk right. I got to walk right. No, 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 no. He was a long ways off, and the father just went running to him. And the scripture, I've never seen this before. The scripture literally says that he fell on him. You know why it says that? That he fell on him? Because his love falls on you. When you walk away, when you turn your back, when you gossip and you walk in the things of the world, in the flesh, and you say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't have done that. I just got off on my own accord. And you turn back to Jesus, his love falls on you. You ever felt that before? You know what he does next after the scripture says that the father fell on him? He says that he brought a robe to him. He called his servants. He said, bring a robe to him. He brings a robe out and he covers him. Remember this. He's telling a story to make a point. You know why he brought a robe to him? Not because he was naked or he couldn't come in the house and grab a shower or wash up and come to the table. He brings the robe because it covers the shame. It covers the sin. It covers the flesh. It covers the gossip. It covers the nastiness. It covers us. And that's what the Father does. His love falls on us. And then he covers our sin. I didn't say it in the first service, but then he gets him a pair of sandals, puts the sandals on his feet. You know what that represents? You can't run without shoes. They didn't give slaves shoes because they didn't want them running from them. He puts a pair of sandals on him and just prepares a way for him to walk on home. The next thing he does is he gets a ring and puts a ring back on his finger. This is what that represents. Your gift is put back into place when you turn back to Father. There are people that are listening to me. There are people that will listen to this later. You've laid your gift aside. You've laid your calling aside. You got mad. You got frustrated. You got aggravated. And you left your gift. And you're thinking to yourself, will I ever do it again? Will I ever be called again? Can I ever be used again? And the scripture came to me. The gifts and the callings of God are never taken in Romans. The father comes along and he puts the gift back on him. Another comeback story and I'm done. Samson and Delilah, you know the story. Not a very fun story for church, but Delilah puts his head in the lap. Samson puts his head in the lap of Delilah. And you know the story. If Samson kept the locks of hair, he kept his what? His strength. She calls the man in and they cut the locks of hair off of his head. They cut the locks off. He compromised who he was by cutting the locks, allowing that cutting in his life. You know the next thing that happens? When you compromise, when you walk in compromise, when you live in compromise, you lose your vision. You can't see what God has for you. You can't see what's ahead. It's so easy to see in the life of a believer when they compromise. They lose all vision. It's like they're wandering around with no purpose. Where do I go? Who am I? The next thing that happens after his eyes are gouged out is they lock him up in chains, and that's what the enemy does. When he takes your vision, the next thing he does is he'll lock you in chains. If you ever saw a person in worship or when the word's being brought forth, it's like they're dead. They don't hear anything. It's because they're locked in chains. The chains created by compromise. I didn't say this in the first service either, so you get a little extra. But you want to know what the scripture says? All of a sudden, you know when people say, oh, he's done. He's down and out. Like they said in that Bills game. No, they're done. The scripture says, all of a sudden, Samson's hair began to grow back. And let me just tell you this morning, I feel a growing back. I feel a turnaround. I feel something shifting in the spirit of lives and in people and in homes and in family. I feel a shifting. I feel a growing back, an anointing, a favor, a vision growing back in this place. If I can leave you with anything today, don't ever let your locks get cut off. The locks of prayer. The locks of reading the word. The locks of prayer, praise and worship. The locks of purity. Young men, young women, don't ever let the locks get cut off of you, because you'll lose your anointing. I feel it growing back. You know, I think of coming back. And I've been listening, I've been reading, as many of you have, about end times, because we wonder. Do you know that Jesus is the ultimate comeback story? He was slain. He was crucified for the sins of the world. And the scripture literally describes it. Oh, he's over. He's done with. Put the stone in front of the tomb, and he's not coming back. He's over. He's through. It's over with. And he comes back. And then he leaves us with a promise. He says, I'm coming back again. And you can be, you know, you can be concerned with end times. You can be concerned with what's happening in the world. But every time I hear something, I have this peace in my spirit that says, I name the name of Jesus. I walk in covenant. I walk in the promises of God. And I know when things get bad enough, I'm going up to glory. And the same is true for you. You've got to believe it. See, when Samson's hair began to grow back, it happened in his head. It's got to happen in your head. You got to believe it in your mind. You got to receive it in your spirit. If you'll make up your mind, I'm turning back. It's starting in my mind. I'm turning back to him. All of a sudden, you'll get that scent of water. If you need a turnaround in your life, stand up with us right now. Come on, if you want that comeback, turn, stand up right now. Bow your head, close your eyes all over this place. Father, we thank you for fresh manna from heaven. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Father, that you're such a just God. That when trouble and turmoil and issues happen, that we can just lay back and rest in your promises. We'll do your work. We'll occupy. We'll serve you, Father. We'll make sure your house is taken care of. We'll make sure that things are happening. Father, when you ask us to do something, we'll do your will. But we just want to say thank you so much for your promises. I pray for everyone that there's been a yoke of bondage on their minds, on their spirits, on their hearts. Father, I speak life. I speak healing. I speak the ministry of the Holy Spirit all over their lives in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Come on, if you receive it, just say, I thank you for it now, Lord. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for our children. Thank you for sons and daughters coming to know you and walk in your way and serve in your house and to be a part of the kingdom of God. We thank you for it. We claim every child back to you now. Chasing them back. Run them back to your house, Lord. That's our prayer today. We receive the Spirit, the calling, the promises of a turnaround and a comeback. This morning, we make up in our mind, we're turning back to you. However that looks, Lord, we don't have all the answers. We don't know how it all works, but we're just going to turn towards you. Unperfect and dirty and as messed up and as weird as I am and some are, Father, we just turn back to you. And Father, we ask that your love would fall on us. I pray that your love falls on someone this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, would you say amen this morning? Come on, welcome your pastor back.
Beautiful.
absolutely beautiful. I want to give you an opportunity to be, those of you who are here watching at home, to give your life to Jesus today. I'm only going to be a moment. You can sit down or you can stay standing with me. We're going to leave in just a moment, unless you want to stay. How many of you have enjoyed being in God's house today? It's just beautiful. And I'm with Pastor Ryan. I feel hair beginning to grow back again in a spiritual sense. I believe something beautiful is taking place. I just want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for your purpose, the covenant promise being imprinted in our heart today. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who has been going through a season even beyond what our culture is facing, but maybe a season of brokenness, a season of such deep hurt, a season of some type of illness or sickness, God, that you would touch them and minister health and hope to all of their flesh. For those who are suffering even today from loss, the pain of loss, I pray your peace over their lives today. Now, Lord, I just want to pray for those who have never given their life for you. Just your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Even at home, you're watching. Just listen to what I'm going to say to you. The Bible says you must be born again. I love how that scripture says that. It's not, well, you know, think about it, contemplate it. You and I are living in a season and a time now where you need to embrace this wholeheartedly. It's just not a church thing. It's not a religious thing. It's that covenant connection with God, that he loves you so much. You need to give your life to him today. The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of every failure, every wrong, every mistake that I have made. I ask you to be the Lord and Master of my life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, it's good to be with you here today. I feel the shroud in our culture is beginning to lift. I believe there's a spirit that would like to keep people trapped. And I felt to say this when Ryan was speaking today, that if you're home and you just feel trapped, I loathe the phrase social distancing. Physical distancing, okay. But the word social distancing is so anti-Christ. It keeps people away from one another where they can draw strength. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that it's not good for man to be alone. That's just not getting married. That's that social seclusion. And if you're home and you've been struggling, I want to just tell you, you're welcome. You can wear a mask. I don't care if you can wear a face mask. You can come in with a helmet. You can, and I'm not making a funny out of it. I'm just telling you that you can come in however you feel. But for some of you, you need to step out of that. You need to take a step of faith. Trust the Lord with your life. He is going to cover you. I'm not going against what anybody, any rules or regulations. Praise the Lord. I'm a very law-abiding citizen. I really am. But we love you. I love you in the house today. I pray God bless you and keep you. I pray that his face would shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray the Lord grant you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Let's give God one more praise today. Go in his peace. Go in his grace. I love you. Thank you for joining us today.